This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
This is AmTower Off-Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Every week, speaker, consultant Mark AmTower gives you his take on what's going on in the world of government contracting. AmTower Off-Center with your host, Mark AmTower.
Welcome to our no-holds-barred forum for discussing what's good, bad, ugly, and just plain silly in the arena of doing business with the government. I'm Mark AmTower. Before I get started with my guest today, I hosted an event moderated an event for Fed Insider last week, the event on government agencies hiring veterans. And I got to tell you, it was a well-run event down at the Willard. General Sales was there from the Army, Ray Decker from OPM, Maria Santiago of VA, and Serco. Bill Fisher was there representing Serco. Wonderful panel, great audience. So Fed Insider, and you know, I read Fed Insider, the weekly newsletter. Go to fedinsider.com, pick it up. Which leads me to my next, something that I got to read on a regular basis. My guest today is Guy Timberlake, CEO and chief visionary of the American Small Business Coalition. Guy, welcome to the show, man.
Mark, glad to be here.
Been a while.
Absolutely.
Too long, actually. And we're going to get into a lot of different things, but let's start for, if there's anybody out there doesn't know what the ASBC is. Give it to them.
Absolutely. Well, Mark, thanks again for letting me be here today. And folks, the American Small Business Coalition is a local membership organization. We were founded by my wife and I 8 years ago. Back in 2004, we kicked it off.
Miss Maggie,
yep. And we exist really for two purposes. One, for folks that are on the contracting side of this, from an industry standpoint, we help you develop the information and relationships you need to go out and find and win government contracts and subcontracts. And then we also work with government agencies in a non-contracting way, where we work with them to help them expand their outreach activities, industrial-based building, things of that nature. We do this all for free so that they can find the most viable partners to work with, especially if they happen to be small businesses.
There you go. Let's talk about some of the activities you do, the networking, because you and I have been driving the message of relationships forever.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, a lot of what we do is founded around networking, but we're not a networking organization per se. We do a lot of work in the area of industry education and market intelligence activities. We're actually expanding that this year to do a lot more on the web. But from the standpoint of things like our weekly business over breakfast down in Tyson's Corner, which is one of the great events for folks that don't know us or want to get that first touch, it's a great low-risk opportunity. Come out, $20 for breakfast over at Silver Diner. You get a good breakfast and even better networking and conversation and information exchange.
Must open the Maryland one again.
Absolutely.
Please.
Yep, we got to figure out where we're going to set up shop, and because, hey, it's a shorter trip for me coming out of Columbia.
Expectations has that private room off to the side.
We've looked at Expectations. I think we looked at the folks at Bob Evans. Mimi's Cafe has got some space. So we're looking at a few of those. And we were talking with, actually, I was over at Expectations last week talking with some of the folks from Howard County Economic Development. And so they're interested in figuring out how to participate as well.
Well, you know, I dropped Travis off at River Hill at 7 o'clock. I'll be happy to spin out after that. But you know, crossing the river for me is not one of my favorite things.
Now, I understand it's a deal breaker.
I'm a Maryland boy. Well, it's not a deal breaker, you know, because, you know, I was over at a Deltek event, a week or so back. Wonderful, wonderful event at their, you know, ridiculously nice new headquarters, man.
They got some good digs over there, absolutely.
They got great digs and a wonderful meeting space. So when you get an invitation to go to a Deltek event, you know, one of their educational events, man, jump on it because, you know, just take a look at the digs.
Exactly. Wow. The last time you and I were there together is when we were sitting on the panel with the guys at GovWin, Mike Hackmer and company.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Doing one of the panels over there. And, yeah, I mean, this was...
that was only a month ago.
Exactly. I mean, it seems like we were there right before that for another one.
Yep.
And then we came back for this, and I was like, wait a minute, this is not the same building we were in last time. And But they're very... I'll say dot-com-ish almost in their approach. It's very, you know, no walls and very, you know, a lot of open space.
No private offices.
No private offices.
Kevin Parker on down.
I saw that. I was actually having a meeting there with one of the marketing folks, and they were saying, yeah, Kevin Parker sits over there. I'm kind of like, where's the door? But, yeah, so it's all out in the open.
It's neat. So
exactly.
Get the chance, go there.
And yeah, they got a great view, too.
Tell me a little bit about the changes at the ASBC website, which, by the way, is www.theasbc.org.
Absolutely. We actually just did an update recently where we changed the skin to be a little bit more aesthetically pleasing. We've streamlined it. One of the things I think pretty much everyone that knows us knows we're pretty information intensive. You know, information is king or queen as a rule. And so the more information you have, especially if it's good information, the better decisions you can make. And so we were, we have a lot of information that we put out there, and we're complimented for that by a lot of folks all the time. But we tried to kind of throttle it back just a bit from the opening salvo, so that when you come to the website for the first time, if you're not a member,
you're not inundated.
Exactly. You're not going to be blown away by it. You're going to still be able to get to it. Exactly. You'll be able to find what you're looking for, you know, whether it's registering for an event, coming on as a member, becoming a sponsor, or looking for a specific article or my blog. Mm-hmm. But once you are a member and you've got credentials to enter the site, we've also streamlined that as well. And now it's, you know, information's in a very specific place. We have a brand new gateway for members where it's a jumping off point for all the different things, the teaming opportunities, the different articles of relevance. One of the things that we track is, you know, industry days and pre-bid conferences, going on around the government. We actually have a calendar of those for our members. And so if they're looking for a specific thing, like recently FDA had their industry day, we heard it was a huge success. We had they had reached out to us last year, and we helped them promote that some. And I understand the ASBC was well represented at this event. So it was.
Are those still OSDBU run?
These are, yeah. This was actually through the FDA Small Business Office, as opposed to HHS. And so this was one of the sub departments or sub agencies running this one. But okay. There are still all the different outreach activities. But one of the reasons we track this information is for a lot of folks who are coming into this or even doing this, you know, we've not seen a central repository yet for these types of activities. Now, the folks at GovEvents, you know, do a great job tracking, you know, a lot of events around the, you know, around the industry. But, and one of the things that we just haven't seen is some way or some tool that allows you to go yank out specifically just contract-related or agency-specific industry days, pre-bid or pre-solicitation conferences, site visits, those type of things. So we're doing it right now for our members. Mm-hmm. And we've heard from a lot of our members that they found out about an opportunity that they had an interest in. They were able to go and do one of the site visits, which created, you know, some other opportunities for them to kind of maybe do a final vetting of the opportunity before it actually hit the street as an RFP.
Okay, now this is going to be a segue to the next segment of the show, but I'll start it now because we have a couple minutes. There was a discussion in several groups on LinkedIn over the last couple of weeks. Somebody posted, you know, what's the value of industry days?
Right.
Your answer, please.
Well, I mean, bottom line, you know, being in government contracting is the, you know, perpetual search for information. I mean, what you're trying to do is develop information or develop relationships to get information or to verify information that you can use to determine, you know, what's the level of risk associated with bidding or not bidding on a certain opportunity? You know, what is the status of it from the standpoint of, is there an incumbent or is it a brand new opportunity? You know, how's the government going to buy it? What contract vehicle may they use? All these different things, you're trying to answer all these questions. And so industry days, vendor outreach sessions, pre-bid conferences, anytime you have a chance to touch the government, in some way, shape, or form, is a good opportunity for you to work towards gathering that information.
Yep, indeed. So Anything else you want to highlight about the ASBC website and or events right now?
No, we are. I'm going to do a late plug, just to kind of do a wrap up from our charity bash that we did back in November.
Yeah.
Just to thank all the folks here at WFED that came out to support us.
Bartenders.
Amy Morris and Tom Timmon were there, and I know Amy has since moved on, but they were two of our guest bartenders. We had folks there like Mary Davey and Bridget Bean from GSA and SBA, respectively.
Right.
Martin Gross from DISA, Blaine Desi from Library of Congress, and some great folks from government, you know, and industry that came out, helped us guest bartend. We raised $15,000 that evening in 3 hours, with a $10,000 goal that went to the American Freedom Foundation to support military families and wounded warriors. We're already on bat to get the next one going. We're already on the schedule for December 5th of this year. We've already got sponsors coming on board. We've got people registering, you know, just to kind of get ahead of the game. And I'm not trying to promote the event that early, but we're just amazed at the level of interest and success. The event previous year was 150 people, and we raised just about $8,000. This year's event, November 30th, we had 300 folks there and raised $15,000. So thank you to everyone that was a sponsor, a donor, an attendee, or supporter in any way, shape, or form for your help and your support. We donated $15,000 right to American Freedom Foundation, and it's going right to work now supporting organizations around the country that support our men and women in the military and their families.
Bingo. You're listening to AmTower Off-Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. When we come back, we are going to be discussing more about what's working in networking, some of the news for small business, et cetera. Back in a few.
Please join the American Federation of Government Employees for its series Inside Government, brought to you in part by Purchasing Power. The weekly program gives you the real story on what's happening inside federal agencies and the rights of federal employees. Hear the latest from the nation's top lawmakers, celebrities, journalists, union leaders, and federal workers. Don't miss AFGE's Inside Government, Friday at 10 a.m. right here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
Hey Eagles fans, tickets to All American University men's and women's basketball home games in Bender Arena are on sale now. Get them online 24/7 at AUEagles.com or by calling the athletic ticket office at 202-885-TIXX. That's 202-885-TIX. Make your plans now to be part of another historic season in Bender Arena. Catch the Eagles' next home game Thursday, February 9th against Lehigh at 7 p.m.
The Pentagon and Beyond is brought to you by EADS North America.
The stakes are growing, as are the sharp exchanges. Iran's Supreme Leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei says Iran will retaliate over Western-backed oil sanctions and any threat of attack. He said that after Defense Secretary Leon Panetta was cited as saying he fears an Israeli strike against Iran as early as April. Khamenei's speech on Friday marked the anniversary of the 1979 Islamic Revolution. I'm J.J. Green.
We have a capsized boat, 2 people in the water.
Every day, EADS North America builds and supports helicopters for the Coast Guard, Army, National Guard, Navy, and Customs and Border Protection.
Rescue swimmer is in the water.
EADS delivers helicopters that save lives every day, including those bright orange Coast Guard helicopters you see patrolling our nation's capital.
We got them. We're heading back.
EADS North America. Commitment defines us.
Today, my journey to help save people money on car insurance brought me to our nation's capital. I was taking a stroll around a mall when I met a very nice gentleman from Ohio who asked me a question. What kind of word is Geico anyway? An excellent question, I replied. I told him that Geico isn't a word, it's an acronym, and it stands for Government Employees Insurance Company. I explained how Geico actually got its start 75 years ago to help federal employees save money on car insurance. Interesting, the man replied. But today, Geico saves lots of people money on car insurance, including me. Have you ever thought about changing the name? I said. It's a thought. But Gecko sounds like Geico. If we change the name, I might be out of a job. We strolled a bit more, stopped for some tea, and we both agreed. It's probably best to keep the name just like it is. Geico.
To get a free rate quote, go to geico.com, then buy online or over the phone. If you're a federal employee or belong to an association like Big, Few, Young Government Leaders, and others, you may qualify for a special discount. Contact Geico today to request your special federal savings.
Arming your home security system gives you peace of mind, but are you paying $30, $40, $50 or more in monitoring fees? Switch to Ackerman Security Systems, the metro area's most trusted name in security, and pay just $18.95 a month. That's right, $18.95 a month, and no cost to switch. Don't have a system? Then Ackerman offers the latest technology, including wireless monitoring. Call by Wednesday and get 3 months of basic monitoring free when you switch or start service with Ackerman. Call 888-999-1070. AckermanSecurity.com.
I love my husband, but I didn't realize our difficulties had to do with his drinking. Our pastor suggested I go to Al-Anon family groups. I didn't think I would be comfortable, but I decided to try a meeting. The Al-Anon meeting really opened my eyes. Are you troubled by someone's drinking? You might be surprised at what you can learn in an Al-Anon family group meeting from people just like you. Call 1-888-4-ALANON.
Welcome back to Amtower Off Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Mark Amtower. My guest today is Guy Timberlake. Guy is the chief visionary and CEO of the American Small Business Coalition. You can find them at theasbc.org. Guy, my blog post this week, I'm getting better at doing it on a much more regular basis now.
Yep.
Title is there's networking, then there's connecting, then there's being connected. This is part of my Waldo Factor series. But you know, it starts oddly enough with a party that we mentioned, Delta, a couple of times in the first segment.
Yep.
A party that they've adopted. Tom Hewitt started the annual holiday party in the late 80s, and I've been attending now for 20 years. And
yep.
It's really the industry event of the holiday season.
And it serves a great cause with the Marine Corps Toys for Tots program, too.
Exactly. That's the entrance fee. You
exactly. Got
to bring Toys for Tots. Great program. But, you know, the point is, sadly, whatever, it's capped, I think, at 1,200 attendees now.
Yep.
Not because Deltek's saying there's only 1,200 people that should come, but because the fire marshal says there's only 1,200 people that can come.
You know what? The fire marshal has that thing about him, you know? It's too many people in a room.
Right. Yeah. And when Hewitt started, it was at the McLean Hilton, and it was, you know, pretty much tell all your friends and come, you know, let's have some massive hors d'oeuvres, cocktails, soda pops, whatever.
Absolutely.
You know, just a wonderful party. But, you know.
And the place to be seen.
Yeah. You're thinking the Kevin Bacon 6 Degrees of Connection gig here. And there's, you know, my first event, I start the blog with this. The first time I went, I'm looking around the room. It's all I can do to, you know, keep my chin wiped and
yep.
go, everybody is here. The people I read about in GCN, FCW, Wash Tech, GovExec, they're all here. The govies are here.
Yep.
Senior govies are here. The major contractors are here. C-levels, you know, all of the people I want to meet. So my job was to get a few business cards or as many as I could collect and then try to follow up on, you know, on a prioritized basis with each.
Yep.
Now, my job is not dissimilar now, but, you know, I go there, I look around, my name recognition is a little better now than it was 20 years ago. But I still get the business cards, but the first thing I do is go home, look them up on LinkedIn,
yep.
connect, and then I know, you know, there may be 1,200 people in that room, but now with three or four people,
right.
I'm connected, you know, second degree most with that many people.
Exactly right.
You know, in the 1990s, Tom Hewitt, the then CEO of Federal Sources, he was LinkedIn.
Oh, absolutely.
If you know Hewitt, you could access anybody.
Yep.
But you know, value, you know, talk about the value of what is networking, what is connecting, and what is being connected.
Well, and Mark, you know, I mean, you and I have talked about this before. You know, there is, you know, networking, you know, I guess the common social everyday, go out and network just to network. And then there's what
cocktail
we kind of
parties predicated on geographic proximity.
Exactly right. And then there's more of the, you know, I'm not going to call it extreme networking, but more of the tactical networking, which is putting yourself in the place where you're likely to encounter, you know, the kind of people that you need to be associating with for a specific purpose. And whether that is, you know, going to, you know, a mixer hosted by AFCEA or ACT-IAC or something like that. It's going to a place to be in the right place. And so a lot of times now, you know, the networking that a lot of people are doing, you know, to their credit, is to be in proximity to, you know, influencers and decision makers from both sides of the aisle, government and industry, and, you know, using that as one of the jumping off points to establish, you know, the makings of what hopefully will end up being a relationship in some way, shape, or form.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's, you know, there, again, it's I think the transition of, you know, of just networking. I don't think there are too many people, and I could be wrong, that network just to network. I think it's taken on a more serious tone of again, tactical networking. There's a purpose to it. And it's the same thing we talk about when you're requesting meetings with people, you know, of substance, you know, make it count, you know, let there be some reason for it. Help them understand why you want to meet with them and need 5, 10, 15 minutes of their time. I think networking is really going in the same direction. Again, you're always going to have these proximity meetings,
yeah,
you know, where you just happen to be in the neighborhood, you want to stop in somewhere. But a lot more, you know, if you want to make it effective, you should really research the networking. What's the purpose of the event? What's the purpose of, you know, or the background behind the event? You know, what's the background of the organization hosting the event? And how does that play into your goals and objectives?
Right. My friend Bill Granger puts out a newsletter, networking advocate, primarily Maryland, but also D.C. and Virginia-based events, mm-hmm. not focused on the government market. But he puts a little blurb in there about what each of them is and, you know, the kind of communities they're trying to build.
Right.
But there are still a number of those events that, for better or worse, are simply geographic proximity driven.
Right. Well, I mean, and I just had the opportunity to attend a group, actually speak at a kickoff meeting for a brand new meetup group. Called Next Generation Government Contractors. And a young guy I know put this group together, and it's really a lot of folks who are definitely younger.
John
Levin, yes. Yeah. Younger and new to government contracting in general.
Mm-hmm.
And they're looking for information, you know, as they should be. And so I guess, you know, the upside is it was great to go out there and meet some of these folks and, you know, share some of my experience with them. The downside is that, kind of like young FCNs, I'm no longer eligible for that, so I'm now the old guy.
Mm-hmm.
So, which was kind of funny in itself, but it was an opportunity to kind of hear their perspective on the challenges of contracting, whether it was from, you know, kind of the employee side of looking for a job in the federal sector, on government or industry, or, you know, more to the point, the folks that have businesses that they want to now change their course and include government contracting in their portfolio. And Mark, you know, you and I talk about it all the time, you know, this is not the business it was 20 years ago. You know, coming in 20 years ago, very different than what it is now. If this is your first, you know, foray into government contracting, you know, the upside is there's a lot more information available easily thanks to the internet, but levels of competition, levels of constraint, budgets dwindling, and so forth, you know, make it a challenge. And so that's one of the areas that folks have to look out for.
Right. And, you know, we both saw the Amex Open study from late 2009 that indicated, finally, statistically validated the fact that it took 19 and a half months for intelligent companies to win business.
Right.
If you're just sitting there waiting 19 and a half months, it doesn't happen to fall in your lap.
Exactly. And it all points to how you go about doing this. You know, but back from, you know, to the networking piece, though, and you talk about Tom Hewitt, and there are a number of folks out here that I'll say emulate, you know, what Tom Hewitt did. And there are people in various organizations, and again, some of the, you know, the standards, if you will, the industry, you know, are the ACT, IAC, FCA, you know, Professional mm-hmm. Services Council, groups like that. You know, we do it, the ASBC, but I'm not going to, you know, do the overplug there, shameless self-promotion. But this is what we do.
You host some excellent events.
And the point of it is that, you know, and I'll say this way, at the meetup, one of the things that we've always done, Mark, you've done this and I do it. When you've got an audience there, unless you're dealing with 100 people, get everyone to introduce themselves. And the beauty of it is, and I kind of made the point the other night, okay, now you all know who else is in the room, and you have an idea of who you now need to talk to as well. So you're welcome.
Cool. You're listening to Amtower Off-Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Mark Amtower. My guest is Guy Timberlake. When we come back, we're going to continue this conversation on networking venues and hit some of the news that's come up recently from Capitol Hill regarding small business regulations. Back in a couple.
How is the U.S. Air Force improving financial information and achieving audit readiness? What is the U.S. Air Force doing to improve its financial operations, become more efficient, and control costs? Join host Michael Keegan as he explores these questions and much more with Dr. Jamie Morin, Assistant Secretary of the Air Force for Financial Management and Controller, next week on the Business of Government Hour.
Did you know that organ and tissue transplants save thousands of lives each year? This 2012, make the decision to save lives by becoming an organ, eye, and tissue donor. Registering is easy. Do it whenever obtaining or renewing your driver's license. Or register online at beadonor.org. That's beadonor.org. This is Hillary Howard. I registered to be a donor and have the heart on my driver's license to prove it. Join me and register today.
And now the Federal Living Report, brought to you by WEPA.
Miss that mass transit subsidy that expired at the end of last year? The government's biggest union wants it back, too. The National Treasury Employees Union is lobbying lawmakers to reinstate it, calling it critical to workers struggling in a down economy. Supportive lawmakers are calling for the benefit to be included in a payroll tax extension that's being negotiated now. But Utah Senator Orrin Hatch gave a reality check. He told Reuters that passage was unlikely before the November election.
When did you last review your life insurance coverage? WEPA, a nonprofit association founded in 1943, provides life insurance to federal employees at rates significantly less than the federal program. WEPA also has a premium refund policy that's returned over $58 million to its policyholders since 1996. WEPA gives its policyholders more coverage, more benefits, and greater flexibility, yet costs much less. Visit WAEPA.org to learn about all of your options. Again, that's WAEPA.org.
Hey man, what's up? Angie went to Walmart and got this cool Pioneer HD radio receiver, and now she's like, eh, I don't know.
Simple stuff. Check out the buyer's guide at HDradio.com.
Cool buyer's guide. Oh, here's the Pioneer DEH-44, under $120 at Walmart. Angie, hip and smart.
See, dude, HDradio.com has the answers you need, and Walmart has the Pioneer with built-in HD radio technology you want. Now all you need to do is learn how to talk to girls.
Learn about HD radio technology at HDradio.com. More radio, more value.
Experience GW Basketball in one of D.C.'s best college venues, the Colonials Club. As a member of the Colonials Club, you will enjoy a game day atmosphere that is unmatched in Washington area college basketball. Your philanthropic donation and loyal support for GW Athletics provides countless opportunities to our student athletes in pursuit of both their academic and athletic goals. Call 202-994-7325 to join the Colonials Club today and help raise high the Buff and Blue.
America's top show about planning for retirement is on 1500 AM WFED. Sunday mornings at 8, it's the Financial Safari. Each week, America's income planner, Coach Pete DeRuda, sits down with father-daughter duo from Northern Virginia, retirement planners Don and Jill O'Rourke from O'Rourke Asset Management. Sunday mornings at 8, it's the Financial Safari on 1500 AM WFED.
Imagine a 23-foot-long video wall that provides 100 times more detail than the best high-definition TV. It exists, but sorry, sports fans, only for science right now. The screen at the University of California in Irvine displays pictures ranging from microscopic to telescopic using 200 million pixels on 50 high-definition TVs.
The real trick is the software to be able to coordinate this stuff, to be able to make all the displays act as if they're one.
Stephen Jenks, chief scientist at Hyperwall, says it allows unprecedented clarity, zooming in or out. He foresees engineering advances that will seamlessly fuse all that image data onto huge rollable screens.
Instead of wallpaper, and instead of a television, you can just have this stuff mounted on your wall.
And surround yourself with video. To find out more, please go to www.nae.edu/radio. With the National Academy of Engineering, Randy Atkins, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Welcome back to Amtower Off-Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Mark Amtower. My guest today is Guy Timberlake. Guy's the CEO and chief visionary of the American Small Business Coalition. Guy, the ongoing education aspect, you guys are very active providing your members with a variety of venues, online, offline. Talk a little bit about that, please.
Absolutely. We actually, one of the things that we're doing now is actually making a lot more available to folks that are not part of the membership, and really because the education is good for everyone more than anything else. And what we've seen in the past is some of the programs that we facilitated, we got a lot of buy-in from different folks who thought they were very good, very useful, and very actionable pieces of information. So under our marquee of, if you will, of the ASBCs of Government Contracting, which is our platform for industry education, we've got a number of titles under there, ranging from, you know, skill sets of folks that are just jumping into government contracting all the way to folks that are either trying to get a GSA schedule or try to leverage a GSA schedule, you know, pursuing different contracts. You know, we're bringing folks in like Global Services to talk about proposal management activities. So it really does, I mean, touch on a realm of activities, and we try to make these very functional and useful. One of the things that we're doing right now that I think a lot of people that know me know I talk quite a bit about is simplified acquisitions. And that, you know, is just one of those big areas. There's a lot of chatter right now in and around Capitol Hill and the agencies because of some recent comments made by some other folks who were, you know, questioning the government's use of simplified acquisitions and abuses. And I'm not going to go into that because that's not my position. But very specifically, you know, last fiscal year, simplified acquisitions represented a $16 billion part of the government spending.
And half of that went to small business.
A little over, I think it was $8.3 billion last time I looked at the report, went to small business. And it was, you know, over 50 NAICS codes represented. I mean, you know, polish and sanitation, you know, polish manufacturing, janitorial services, landscaping, you know, IT intermediation, translation
across the board.
Yeah. And so, and one of the things we talk about is because there a lot of people still don't understand simplified acquisitions, and we're not going to go too deep into it right now. But you know, simplified acquisitions are not micro purchases, which is a different program unto itself.
Right.
Although there's a lot of money spent there too, smaller pockets of money.
Right.
But one of the things I talk about is a lot of folks look at simplified acquisitions as this, you know, incremental, you know, not really viable business opportunities. For most people I know, $150,000, which is the new threshold, is not laughing money. I mean, that's something I'd jump on in a heartbeat. But at the same time, what they also overlook is the number of agencies who are leveraging simplified acquisitions and creating contracts out of that. So as opposed to just a random, you know, task order for $150,000 or less, folks like the Air Force, who, and everyone hears me say this, by far has the coolest name for any contract vehicle out there called Sabre, and it's simplified acquisition of base engineering requirements.
I beg your pardon. NSA has one called Scooby Snacks.
Okay, they do have Scooby Snacks. You're right. but no, Sabre is one of those contracts that the Air Force uses primarily for domestic application, basically support services at their domestic bases, CONUS bases, for engineering services, everything from HVAC, landscaping, civil engineering, you know, pest control, you name it. Well, I just, you know, one of my latest presentations, I pulled out an excerpt from Air Force News, and, you know, they just awarded two contracts, IDIQs, that were with a top-end value of $40 million based on Sabre, simplified acquisition of base engineering requirements. So, you know, it's not just the little deals, and there's a lot of opportunity there. And, by the way, most of those Air Force contracts under Sabre are set aside for small business.
Bingo.
So that's another big factor right there too.
It is, but you know, let's talk about, you know, content may be king.
Yes,
and I agree wholly with that. But content held closely or not shared as much as it should be,
yep,
is a wild card. So the dissemination of the information becomes critical.
There is a tremendous amount of IP, opinion, and just plain old exchange of information going on in a lot of different places. The groups on LinkedIn are absolutely pervasive. in the respect of, I mean, I don't know how many groups there are there right now related to government contracting.
When you narrow it down to government contracting, there's probably fewer than 250 groups.
But the number of people that populate those groups is what's impressive.
Tens of thousands.
Though. Absolutely. So, and the exchange going on there, I mean, I know I'm part of probably 10 or 12 groups out there, in addition to the ones that you operate, the ones that I have. I belong to a bunch of others, too, because it's a good place to do exchange.
Yeah.
But, yeah, when I do a blog, when I do one of my blogs, I, you know, and I work with the folks in these groups, so I know that it's permissible to put this information out there. It's not advertising. I'm putting out my opinion on
right.
a particular topic. And I get a lot of very, very good feedback related to these op-eds I do. At the same time, I also try to forward articles to the different groups that people may not capture. And one of these came from, and Mark, you and I have talked about this, you know, our weekly newsletter, I go in and I will pick out the best 5 to 8 industry articles that week and put them in our newsletter. And the amount of traffic that we see those articles get absolutely conclusively tells me that, Mark, you read WashTech, I read GovExec, and never shall we vary from that or stray from that.
Right.
So if we consolidate information from different sources into one place, it makes it easier for people to get information
exactly.
that they might not look at.
Easier
ordinarily.
Access to information.
Absolutely.
You know, and pulling from multiple sources is key because everybody doesn't have time to thumb through these things, to go to the website, to scroll through.
Absolutely.
To even, you know, run have a Google alert program. You know, if you're into cyber, you know, how much cyber information comes through
right.
every day.
Well, and the thing is, I mean, again, with information being what it is, I mean, you got to have information to make decisions. Bottom line, I don't care if you're the BD person, the marketing support person, or the owner of a company. In order for you to do your job effectively, you've got to have information, and not just information. It's got to be good, timely, relevant information that you can use to make decisions with to affect your part of the mission. And so, you know, the LinkedIn groups by far are one of the best resources I've seen out there because a lot of them get very niche-y, as they should. Okay, they're catering to a specific audience. You know, LinkedIn, I think, in my opinion, has the best feature set there. There's a lot of activity I see going on Facebook. And there are some things there, and I know a lot of people argue that Facebook is still too personal. And I agree to a certain point. We've got a business presence there, and so we see a lot of good buy-in from that as well. But from a sheer numbers standpoint, nothing close to what we see on LinkedIn.
Right.
Twitter, same thing. Twitter, you know, for us, is strictly business. I mean, it's, you know, the ASPC guy and then the other handles we have out there that we put information out in the bits and pieces relevant to those streams of consciousness. And we have a lot of followers out there. And I love the fact and I appreciate it when somebody takes our stuff and repurposes it, retweets it or pushes it out otherwise. That's a compliment because that means we probably did something useful, at least in that person's opinion. And it got pushed out to their followers. And so that's another great tool. But and again, there's no real way to measure the total effectiveness or reach that you get on Twitter. So I can't really say which one is better, you know, LinkedIn or Twitter. Just on LinkedIn, you can see it a little bit more clearly.
I would say from my experience, by far, LinkedIn is a vastly superior tool because not only are you pushing information, you can host information,
right.
you can encourage a discussion. I don't get involved in discussions on Twitter.
Well, no, and I really don't either. I mean, Twitter for me really is kind of more of a push. Than anything else. I receive a lot of good information there because a lot of people that I follow, I follow for a very specific reason. And so I know that they are going to either create or repurpose information that is going to be useful to me. So I love Twitter for that reason. And, you know, I always used to laugh about the 140 characters, but actually there's a reason for it. And I understand it now because it forces you to be very much on point.
Yep.
And so I appreciate that as well. It forces me to be on point, which is tough for me sometimes. But again, with LinkedIn being the repository, because you can search Twitter too, but you can search, you know, dialogue, you know, streams of information exchanges going
yep.
on there in the various groups. And so LinkedIn, I mean, if folks, if you're not using LinkedIn in support of what you do and in any job, but we're talking government sector right now, I think you're missing out. There is a tremendous amount of information, and you'll be amazed at who is out there helping create that content as well from government and industry.
Okay. And if you're not on LinkedIn, I have a workshop coming up 29th of February, my LinkedIn Black Belt workshop. So we'll get into that at the end of the show. You're listening to AmTower Off Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. When we come back, we're going to talk about some pending or just introduced legislation for small business. We'll be back in a couple.
Arming your home security system gives you peace of mind, but are you paying $30, $40, $50 or more in monitoring fees? Switch to Ackerman Security Systems, the metro area's most trusted name in security, and pay just $18.95 a month. That's right, $18.95 a month, and no cost to switch. Don't have a system? Then Ackerman offers the latest technology, including wireless monitoring. Call by Wednesday and get 3 months of basic monitoring free when you switch or start service with Ackerman. Call 888-999-1070. AckermanSecurity.com.
It's about smiles. It's about laughter. It's about going out and making a difference in the life of a child. You don't have to get mad. You just have to go mad. GoMad2011.com is a website dedicated to supporting the Make-A-Wish Foundation. At GoMad, our mission is simple, to go out and make a difference. So how can you help? Visit the Wish Wall on GoMad2011.com and make a contribution today, or find out how you can donate with a simple text message. Do it now so that we can continue to touch the lives of children with life-threatening conditions by granting their wishes.
Meeting mission goals through health, brought to you by General Dynamics IT.
The Office of the National Coordinator for Health Information Technology is working to identify some best practices for mobile devices. The project aims to help medical providers secure and protect health information on laptops, tablets, and smartphones as those devices continue to proliferate throughout the clinical sector. The ONC will gather public input to identify good practices. It then plans to spread those practices through what it promises will be clear, concise, easy to understand language.
General Dynamics IT is meeting the challenges of a complex healthcare environment that requires far-reaching experience and full-spectrum capabilities. Government, military, and commercial health payer organizations rely on General Dynamics IT's health services, solutions, and support to tackle their toughest issues. General Dynamics IT's broad understanding of healthcare data, military health missions, fraud, waste, and abuse protection, and more ensures support and innovation tailored to your real-world needs. Today's healthcare challenges are formidable. To learn more, go to GDIT.com.
The Caps take on Southeast Division rival the Florida Panthers on Tuesday, February 7th, and the Winnipeg Jets on Thursday, February 9th. The Caps look to gain momentum in the Southeast Division standings with these very important division games. Caps games are always huge events. The fans are always pumped up, always a great time. This is the hottest ticket in town. Tickets are very limited, so call 202-397-SEAT or log on to WashingtonCaps.com/singleticks now and do your part in building America's hockey capital.
Tune in Sunday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. for Executive Leaders Radio. This show features four of the D.C. region's finest business leaders. Through each of these compelling interviews, these high-achieving leaders become relatable role models who share how they were able to build their enterprise, their personal secrets of success, and opportunities that lie ahead. The show inspires, entertains, and is full of wisdom unheard elsewhere. Tune in Sundays at 9 a.m. for Executive Leaders Radio.
Hi, this is Wayne Zell, host of Blueprint for Wealth, every Saturday here on Federal News Radio at 10 a.m. Please join me this week for my special guest, Todd Feldman of Core Financial Advisory, who's going to tell us about certified financial planning and his special buckets of investment. Blueprint for Wealth is brought to you by Odin Feldman and Pittleman, a full-service law firm located in Fairfax, Virginia, serving the entire D.C. metro area. Visit us on the web at ofplaw.com.
Please join the American Federation of Government Employees for its series Inside Government, brought to you in part by Purchasing Power. The weekly program gives you the real story on what's happening inside federal agencies and the rights of federal employees. Hear the latest from the nation's top lawmakers, celebrities, journalists, union leaders, and federal workers. Don't miss AFGE's Inside Government, Friday at 10 a.m., right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m.
Government financial managers are committed to produce timely, reliable, and useful financial information. Stay on top of issues that affect you at AGA's 10th Annual National Leadership Conference, February 16th and 18th at the Ronald Reagan Building and International Trade Center. AGA's NLC features the latest tools and innovations to help agencies do their jobs more easily and more effectively. Don't miss it. Register today at agacgfm.org/NLC. Want the latest Department of Defense news? Listen every Wednesday for DoD Wednesday on Federal News Radio. Wednesday afternoons at 2, Federal News Radio DoD reporter Jared Serbu hosts On DoD, a discussion with senior managers about how the department meets its mission. Then stick around Wednesday afternoons at 3 when in-depth host Francis Rose brings you Pentagon Solutions, a deep dive into the issues and challenges of the defense community. All this plus our daily DoD updates at 40 past the hour, only on Federal News Radio 15.
Welcome back to Amtower Off Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Mark Amtower. My guest today is Guy Timberlake, the chief visionary and CEO of the American Small Business Coalition. Again, you can find them at theasbc.org. Guy, a couple of bills up on the Hill right now. We'll start with Bill Owens, 23rd District, New York, H.R. 3779. The Small Business Growth and Federal Accountability Act.
Right.
What is it? What's right? What's wrong?
Well, this is one that was just introduced. And the essence of the bill is that Representative Owens wants to penalize federal agencies 10% of their procurement dollars for the year following an unsuccessful year related to small business goals. And so this is kind of one of the ones I put in that basket of a number of others that, you know what, I think honestly that the intent is well-founded, but it's just off the mark. And the reason being is, very, very simply put, the following fiscal year, after Agency X didn't meet its goals, it now has fewer dollars to spend across the board, but especially on small business. So it's a perpetual, an evolution of failure, because if they keep losing money from their budget, one, they're not going to be able to effectively achieve their mission goals as an agency, and they're definitely not going to be able to meet their small business goals ever if it's going to be a perpetuating penalty.
Okay. That sounds like fun.
Well, again, you know, and it's, you know, no disrespect to the representative, but, you know, I'd love to know, you know, where he and others are getting their information. Who is it that's telling them this is a good idea? Because
well,
I honestly don't
the guy
think...
that came up with a 3% withholding rule, you know, a year and a half, 2 years, three
right.
years ago, that got delayed, and finally got killed.
Exactly. Well, and this goes back to, you know, again, just kind of another in the, you know, array of ideas being put out by some of the elected officials. You know, there was one from a congressman, I believe, out of Alabama a couple of years back that would make companies who had outgrown their small business status because of success on contracts eligible to recompete for that contract as a small business if that contract would make them no longer a large business or other than small business.
Yeah, so it would be the revolving doors.
Like, exactly, yeah. Right. So in other words,
so if they lose
no
a business because they're large, they lose a business, they become small again.
Right, exactly. So which, and again, I took umbrage with that one as well, because that didn't, you know, foster any opportunity for the new guys or the next company in line. But no, the bill from Representative Owens, I did a very lengthy
blog
about
this one. Planning on part of the company.
Well, If everything they're doing is waiting on that one contract, then yeah, there's an issue there. You
right.
know? And I understand it can happen that way. You know, you're entrenched,
sure.
But again, it there's no fairness in contracting, in my opinion. And if there is no level playing field, exactly.
And they keep trying to level the playing field.
Well,
by
we keep talking about parity.
Rooms.
Absolutely.
Well, let's talk about Sam Graves' gig then.
Well, this one is even more interesting.
I want to say the name of the bill first. The bill introduced January 31, the Government Efficiency Through Small Business Contracting Act. What's the gig here with Mr. Representative Graves' rule?
Yeah,
here?
Mr. Graves from Missouri. There are actually a couple components to this one, and again, you know, I agree conceptually with where he is trying to go. I don't agree with how he's trying to get there, and very specifically, this one essentially he wants to penalize the senior executives of the agencies who do not meet their goals. He basically wants to take their bonuses. And my blog, the image that I put in there, which I was told by several people was absolutely on point, was the proverbial crap rolling downhill. And unfortunately, in this case, if this were to pass, the bottom of the hill is made up of a lot of small businesses in the government contracting. So, you know, as usual, the crap would land on us. And it just, again, penalizing the senior executives, you're going to distract them from what I understand and believe their mission to be and their role to be. And by putting this punitive measure in place is not going to help endear anyone to, you know, finding effective ways to support small business or engage small business. The other part of the bill that I read that he's trying to affect, I think it was Nydia Velasquez had issued this a few years back as well, which was to increase the goals from 23% to 25%.
Right.
Now, again, conceptually, I'm in favor of it. The issue is, if the basis of one part of your bill is to penalize the agencies for not meeting the 23% goal, what good is raising it to 25%? Now it's going to become more of a wider chasm, if you will, between success and failure of where the agencies are doing it right now. So I just don't see that as being, you know, relevant right now. I think we need to put more focus on, you know, and again, I hate for it to be goal-oriented. I'd like to think that all the agencies would just work with small businesses because it's the right thing to do, you know, choosing the most viable company to do the work. But, you know, be it as it may, you know, raising the goal and creating these punitive measures doesn't help the situation. There's enough challenge right now with the relationship between industry and government, and especially small business and government. And that challenge has to do with the segment of government that still has the belief that they got to go to the proverbial, you know, big box SIs or, you know, the, you know, bent metal, you know, guys that make things fly and stuff like that. And that's fine if that's their belief and that's their experience. But, you know, I think times have changed tremendously from years ago when you and I first started doing this. The ability for companies, especially small businesses, to deliver effectively, you know, on budget, below budget, and ahead of schedule is dramatically different than what it was. The level of sophistication of the companies today, small businesses, and what they can take on is far greater than what it was, you know, just with the evolution of time. And so, again, what we'd like to see is just a better dialogue between us and them, as it were, and try to find a way to make things happen that benefit government and industry and the economy as a whole that doesn't result in a punitive action taking place.
Right. You know, largely these things to me look, you call it prophylactic. I call it Band-Aid for bleeders.
Right.
You know, you don't offer a Band-Aid to a hemophiliac. But none of the issues that I see here address the 1102
right.
issue, which is an overworked, undertrained contracting workforce. And without that, none of this is going to occur anyway.
No. And again, you know, at the end of the day, it's about the agency is achieving their specific goals as it relates to, you know, why they exist. And at the same time, it really is about, you know, trying to help these companies do the right thing and achieve their goals as individual organizations as well. And again, I just, you know, I think my biggest thing was a lot of these folks that we never hear from any other time except right before elections come up.
Oddly enough.
Yeah.
Guy, thanks so much for coming in, man.
Mark, thanks for having me.
Always a pleasure. You've been listening to Amtower Off-Center on Federal News Radio, and thank you for listening to Amtower Off-Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. This is not my day job. Go to federaldirect.net to see what I'm up to, and hopefully join us on LinkedIn. Guy Timberlake and Mark Amtower are all over LinkedIn, and we will see you next week. And remember, you have not been everywhere till you've been off-center with Amtower.
You've been listening to Amtower Off-Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Amtower Off-Center, Monday afternoons at noon, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, WFED, your source for federal news now.